us. On March 3, we will have prayer and praise. That will be the culmination of our prayer and fasting week. So today we will continue our sermon series. For those of you, if this is your first time, we are running on the book of James. And our sermon series is entitled Triumph Through Trials, based on the epistle of James. And we are now on the last part of chapter 1 of the book of James. Now, someone has said that it takes 21 days to form a habit. And when we say habit, it means a continuous action, or we do it regularly. That's what we call habit. For me, it's my habit to always drink coffee. If that is your habit, every morning you drink your coffee and you read your newspaper. And for some, perhaps your habit is to read books, just like my daughter. She loves to read a book, and she always reads books. So that is her habit. So what about you? What is your habit? Now, here's the problem. What about when it comes to our obedience to the Word of God? Do we have that habit to obey the Word of God? Much like in exercise, we all know that we need to have that habit of proper diet and proper exercise. That is for our physical body. What about for our spiritual life? Church, we need to form a habit, to make it a habit to always obey the Word of God. I hope and pray that we will not just be content here, that we attend Sunday after Sunday, we just listen to the Word of God Sunday after Sunday, but we do not apply the Word of God. So my prayer this morning is that all of us, we will decide that we will form a habit, that we will make it a habit, that we will obey the Word of God. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Father, we thank You once again for Your Word, and we ask for Your Holy Spirit, again, Lord, to open our minds and our hearts in order for us to understand Your Word. Help us, Lord God, to form a habit, Lord, to always obey Your Word, to become doers of Your Word and not just hearers of Your Word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Allow me to first show to you the chart of James so we can grasp the whole picture of the book of James. And I got this from my professor at Grace School of Theology. We can divide the book of James into two. Again, about good behavior in Christ's return, or the practice of endurance, or the practice of perseverance, and the perspective of perseverance or endurance. Under the practice of endurance, we can see the result of trials, and we are still there. And even the last part, or We just finished about trials, and we are now moving on the second part, that is the righteousness of works, from verse 19 up to chapter 2, verse 26. And then chapter 3 of James, we will talk about the tongue. So that's entitles it as restraint of the tongue. And then the second part, resignation in the word, chapter 4. And then the return of the Lord, chapter 5. And also the latter part of chapter 5, we will study there the requests in prayer. And then the last two verses of James, we will be able to understand the rescue of the wayward. We will understand that is the whole lesson in the book of James. Now, last time, we discussed about temptation. If you still remember, James chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. The lesson there is to resist what? Temptations in our lives. And someone has said that God will grant us the endurance to persevere when we face various kinds of trials. And at the same time, He will give us the strength in order for us to resist any form of temptation. Now, the last verse, chapter 1, verse 18, it talks about God giving us good gift. Remember, every good gift comes from the Lord. So definitely, any temptation, it does not come from the Lord. Because every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And James gave an example of what is that good gift. And that pertains to our salvation. And he mentioned there that being born again through the word of truth. So today we will continue on that note about the word of truth. And we also call it the Bible or the word of God. So today, again, the lesson is we must make it a habit to obey God's word. And how are we going to do that? First, by accepting the word of God. Second, by becoming doers of the word. And third, by consistently and constantly worship God through obedience. Let's start with acceptance of the word of God in verses 19 to 20. It says there, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Take note of the contrast here. Quick to hear, slow to speak. And this is for everyone. Everyone in this room, because it says there, let every person, okay? So this is applicable to all of us here. Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. And the result, of course, is slow to anger. Remember in the preceding verses, James talked about the wisdom of God in James chapter 1, verse 5. That's the context. He told us that we need to ask God. If we are facing various kinds of trials, we must ask God for wisdom. And here's the wisdom that comes from the Lord. Here's the guiding principle. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Again, quick to hear or swift to hear and slow to speak. Remember, James just finished talking about temptation. And when we give in to temptation, he said, it will give birth to sin. And sin will lead to death. And we understand that the word death there, it means physical death. Metaphorically speaking, it means that it serves as a barrier. Sin serves as a barrier for our fellowship with the Lord. Okay, remember, he is talking to the believers. So all of this, the believers already have a relationship with God. So we are talking about our fellowship with God. And James is quite clear, but before we go to that, in order for you, my friend, to have a relationship with the Lord, remember that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The Bible says we are all sinners. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, it means that because we are sinners, we will spend eternity away from the Lord, away from the presence of God. But God gave a provision. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for your sin and for my sin, which we can never, ever repay. And after 3 days, He rose again from the grave to complete our salvation. And we can only be declared righteous, we can only be right in the eyes of God by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. So my friend, if this is your first time here, if you know with all honesty that you do not yet have a relationship with the Lord, the scripture is clear. For God loved, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me, says the Lord. And the Bible says, believe. Put your faith, put your confidence in Christ and on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved by our good works. You can only be saved by faith in Christ Jesus. And the promise that Jesus Christ gave to those who believe, he said, you have crossed from death to life. So in order for you to have a relationship with God, it is only through Jesus Christ. So my friend, that is the challenge for you this morning. May the Holy Spirit make this clear to you, that may you put your faith in Christ, your confidence, your trust in Christ and Christ alone. Now for us believers, this is about our fellowship with the Lord. James will now put the practical application for wisdom. And what is this wisdom? Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. His readers were somehow familiar with this because this is based on the book of Proverbs. Remember, the original recipient of the book of James? They are Jewish Christians. They were scattered outside of Jerusalem, perhaps because of the persecution under Herod Agrippa I. So they are familiar with the wisdom literature. And one of the books in this category is the book of Proverbs, along with the book of Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Job, and Song of Solomon. And in Proverbs, it says there, somehow just almost the same as this, it says there, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Now, James will expound more of this, quick to hear in chapter 2, and then slow to speak in chapter 3, and then slow to anger in chapter 4. Okay? So we will discuss more about this when we go to the said chapters and passages. Now, for today, let's take this life principle, okay? That we should be swift to hear and slow to speak. And the result, slow to anger. Last week, I just solemnized a wedding. And one of the things that I said to the couple is that you should work on with your communication, because your communication will either make or break your relationship. Of course, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. It's given. But on the practical side, you need to work on your communication. And you need to practice the art of communication, especially for the couples here. And part of communication is listening. You cannot respond properly without listening intently. So you need to learn how to listen. Swift to listen and slow to speak. Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary, we have two ears and one mouth, which ought to remind us to listen more than we speak. Can I hear an amen with that? Parang ayaw nyo ah. Because if we will not practice this principle, then take note, anger will do harm than good. Let us obey God's word. Let us be swift to hear or to listen and slow to speak. Why? Because if not, it says, therefore, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger will not help us in our fellowship with the Lord. Because if you already put your faith in Christ, God is now at work in and through you. Therefore, we should exercise the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is why he said, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. The word filthiness there, it means sordidness. And sordid, it means very dirty, gross, or disgusting. The picture of that word filthiness or sordid in one Bible dictionary, it is like a used napkin of a woman who had a menstruation. So it's really gross. That's what the word filthy means. And even one Greek scholar says that the literal meaning of the word filthy is just like a wax in your ear. So it's really filthy. It's really gross. So what's the sense of this? We need to remove every dirt in our lives. We need to take away every dirt, every sin. We need to take it off, remove all the dirt, remove all the sin in our lives. The same is true with the word wickedness. Wickedness there, it means malice. And when we say malice, it means thinking of what is harmful and damaging on others. Not only physically, in this context, through our words. We can inflict pain through our words when we gossip, when we slander on others. So we need to get rid of all of these things. And how are we going to do this? By accepting the Word of God. Receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. The word received there, it means approval, acceptance. And the significance of that acceptance is that we need to accept the Word of God with humbleness, with meekness. We should become a humble student of the Word of God. In other words, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to pause. We need to stop talking and start listening. We need to accept and receive the Word of God. Let the Word of God minister to us, especially when we are angry. We should stop talking and we should start listening to the Word of God. Now James says there, which is able to save your souls. How are we going to interpret this? If this is salvific, well, the Word of God, technically, it can really save us from hell because we will know the way of salvation through the Word of God. But here, I think the word save here, the Greek word sozo, it does not only always mean eternal salvation. It could also mean physical salvation. Okay, because sometimes in the Bible, when you see, especially in the gospel, when Jesus healed many, that word healed is also the Greek word sozo. And it talks about physical healing. So here, perhaps James is talking about physically we can be saved. Especially when we are slow to speak. Totoo nga naman yun. Makakaiwas ka. Diba? Doon sa gulo. Kapag marunong ka magtimpi. Kapag hindi ka kaagad, nagsasalita. Especially when you are angry. When you start to listen to the Word of God, then it can literally save you physically from damage. Or it can also save you from... Because remember, sin serves as a barrier for our fellowship with the Lord. So it can save you from committing sin. And the third interpretation here, perhaps for the word soul, because the word soul, it can be interpreted as life. Because the Greek word psyche, it means life. Our life here on earth. That is why Dr. Anderson, he said, James wants his readers to save their lives for eternal purposes, thereby increasing their rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will talk about judgment seat of Christ when we go to chapter 2 of the book of James. Remember that all of us, we will give an account to the Lord. Even believers, we will give an account to the Lord. And we call it the judgment seat of Christ. So our good works after salvation, we are not saved by our good works, but our good works, it has bearing after salvation when we face the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. So I lean on the third interpretation. It is not about salvific because his readers are already saved. Remember, at least in chapter 1, he mentioned the word brothers, adelphos, 4 times. So he's talking already to the believers. They're already saved. He's not talking about the way of salvation, but rather he's talking about the walk of the believers. So what is his significance to us? Looking at the context, James wants his readers to save their lives here on earth from trials, and they need to become good listeners to the Word of God, so that they might save their life, their time here on earth, for eternal purposes. That is why John MacArthur said in his MacArthur Study Bible, believers are to respond positively to Scripture and eagerly pursue every opportunity to know God's Word and His will better. So what is its significance to us today? Did you know that it is more tempting, it is more easy for us to be talkative when we face trials. It is more easy for us to be to talk fast, to be talkative when we are angry. Right? Do you agree with me? It is easy for us to look for people and tell our side of story. Diba? Kapag galit ka, if you are in a conflict, that our faith will be tested during the time of conflict. When we are angry, it is more easy for us to keep talking and pointing out the wrong of the other party than seeing what is wrong in us. That's why the scripture is encouraging us, swift to hear, slow to speak. Listen to the word of God. That is the wisdom. Remember, James chapter 1, verse 5, ask for wisdom. And here's the wisdom of God. Listen, accept the word of God. Douglas Moo said, uncontrolled anger leads to uncontrolled speech. How often do we find ourselves regretting words spoken in the heat of the moment? The wise person, James reminds us, will therefore learn to control the emotion of anger and so eliminate one of the most common sources of hasty and unwise speech. Now, one of the things that I was reminded when I attended the GLS, the Global Leadership Summit. By the way, we have a global, we call it GLS Huddle. We are one of the sites of Global Leadership Summit. So every third Saturday of the month, I am inviting all of you to please be here. Every third Saturday, we will discuss about leadership. And one of the things that I learned from GLS is that we need to add value to people. And one of the ways that we can add value to people is through our speech. Because either we can encourage or discourage people through our speech. So therefore, we should swift to listen and slow to speak. Be sure that when you open your mouth, you will only say things that can encourage people and not discourage people. Why? Because in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says there, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. The choice is yours, my dear brothers and sisters. Either your words can kill or your words can give life. So the lesson here is that when we are angry for whatever reason, instead of being tempted to talk immediately, we should accept the word of God. We should listen first to the word of God before we open our mouth. Now, we should not just listen to the word of God, because the second step in order for us to form a habit of obedience to the word of God is that we should become doers of the word and not hearers only. It says there, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. James is quite clear in this command. He said, be doers of the word. The word doer, it means the one who does what is prescribed. Now, the word of God has a lot of prescriptions. It has a lot of prescriptions for us to grow in the faith, for us to grow deeply in our intimacy with God, for us to mature in our Christian life. What James is trying to say here is this. You know the power of the word of God. You know that it can change you. You know that you can see you can see your potential in God's eyes through the word. The Bible says we must conform to the image of his son. This is who we are. We are already holy. We are separated for God's use. But the question is, are we obeying his word? Do you obey his prescriptions? Look at how James compared this to the one who looks at the mirror and then forgets what he looks like. Because the picture of someone is just, if you are just looking at the word of God, it's like a mirror. You can see yourself. You can see your sin and you just turn around. You do nothing, you are deceived. And the word deceive, it means you are failed to live up to its promise. That's the word deceive there. Someone who does not reach his potential in Christ because he did not obey the word of God. He said, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. looking at the context, considering verse 18, which talks about our spiritual birth, this could mean of someone who looks at the Word of God, he sees his sin in his life, but turns away and did nothing about it. But it is just more than just seeing our sin. We can see who we are in Christ Jesus. We can see the plan of God in our life. We can know that He wants us to be more like Christ. That is our destiny. This is what He wants us to be. Remember, this should be our journey from being to becoming. We can see our full potential through the Word of God. But if we will not obey, it is as if we just throw everything away. On the contrary, he said, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Beloved, there is a blessing when we obey the Word of God, especially in view of eternity. Yes, we are not saved because we obey, because salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But let me tell you, our obedience will matter after our salvation. Our obedience to the Word of God will matter when we face our Lord Jesus Christ. And James said, he will be blessed in his doing. Not only in the life to come that he will be blessed, I do believe that even now we will be blessed by the Word of God if we obey, because we can reach our full potential in Christ if we obey. Remember, the goal is to be like Christ. Then the more we obey, the more we are like Christ. I like what the late R.C. Sproul said about verse 22. He said, true hearing of the Word must lead to godly action. The perfect law, the law of liberty, on this note, Ryrie said, the Word of God is the means of regeneration. It is not only the means of regeneration, but also it is the vehicle for Christian growth. If we want to grow in Christ, to see our full potential in Christ, then we need the Word of God. We must obey the Word of God. A mirror reflecting man's defects, the ethical guide for Christian living, and the standard for judgment. So what can we learn from this passage? We not only accept the Word of God, but we should become doers of the Word of God. We must follow the prescription of the Word of God. Now, church, when I see the word prescription, I always remember my current condition right now. That if only I followed immediately the prescriptions of my doctor, then perhaps I am much more healthier right now. Last Thursday, I just saw a urologist because of the cyst on my right kidney. Although many people, including some doctors, told me nothing to worry about, but the urologist advised me to go through CT urogram to be sure. So tomorrow, I will be undergoing CT urogram. And he told me that if the cyst he has this number, 1 or 2, it is just benign. But if the result is 3 and 4, then we have to treat it as malignant. Although, he said, it all depends on your creatinine before you go through CT urogram. But by God's grace, my creatinine is good. So tomorrow morning, I will undergo CT urogram. And then I also need to see another doctor, PT, because of my bone spurs at my lumbar. So if only I followed the prescription before of my doctor, then I should be having a healthier life right now. The same is true, spiritually speaking. We need to follow the prescription of the Word of God, because the Word of God, it can bring life to us. It has an impact here on earth. It is not only for eternity, but also here on earth. If we want to grow in the faith, if we want to grow in our fellowship with the Lord, if we want to be intimate with the Lord, then we should follow the Word of God. Follow His prescription. Become doers of the Word of God. So remember, in order for us to form a habit of obedience, first, we need to accept the Word of God. Second, to become doers of the Word. And third, to be consistent and constantly worship the Lord in verses 26 to 27. It says there, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, James is now starting to expound what he meant by slow to speak. When he mentioned, does not bridle his own tongue. Although we will expound this more when we go to chapter 3 of the book of James. For now, let us just focus on the word religion. Okay? The word religion here, it means an expression of devotion or worship. So, James defined what worship to God means when he said, religion or worship that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. In our modern day, we say that worship is a lifestyle. What do we mean by lifestyle? It's a lifestyle of obedience to God. It's a lifestyle of obedience to the Word of God. And James just gave an example of what it means to obey God. He said, you need to help the poor. We are also to help the poor because God loves the poor. And it's during the time of James, poverty is rampant. That's why he always put that in his application, to always remember the poor. And the same is true for us. One way of obeying God, because we can see this throughout the scripture, is to help the poor. And we have a partner that is called Church on the Streets and Alleys. If you like to help, especially the street children, you just please contact Pastor Ponciano Mortera, and he has this access to the street children. So if you like to help them, contact him directly. And not only to help the poor, James also gave somehow a general example that we should shun away evil things in our lives. We must obey God. We must live our life the way God wants us to be. Church, remember, we must not be like the man who looks at the Word of God and see his potential and just turn away. When he can see his true potential in Christ and then he just turned away from the Word of God. As believers, this is the encouragement for us. We should form a habit of obedience to the Word of God. And how are we going to do that? By accepting the Word, receiving the Word. Remember to listen first before we speak. Listen to the Word of God. Second, to become doers of the Word of God. And we need to be consistent, constantly. Our lifestyle should be a lifestyle of obedience, worship. That is true religion, obeying the Word of the Lord. The Bible Knowledge Commentary said, receptivity to the Word, that's accepting the Word, and responsiveness to its revelation, become doers of the Word, must be coupled with a new approach to life. One must be resigned to continued obedience and perpetual practice, that is consistently worship God. So my dear brothers and sisters, make it a habit to obey God's Word. Again, by accepting the Word of God, becoming doers of the Word, and consistently and constantly worship Him. And worship means a lifestyle of obedience to God. So this week, here's the challenge for us, okay, before we go home. This week, let us form a habit, okay? Let us practice the prescription and the principle that was given here in our passage, especially the principle of be quick to listen and slow to speak. Okay, this is what we are going to do in your school, in your home, even in your office. Kahit na doon sa pinakakinaiinisan mo, okay? Doon sa kaaway mo na. Okay? Let's practice this, okay? Slow to babalik na rin na lang natin, di ba? Remember, the Bible says, swift to hear, and then slow to speak. Let's practice it. For spouse, okay, inside our home, in our school, and even in our workplace. Let's practice this. Let's make it a habit. We have 1 week, okay? Para pagbalik natin sa Sunday, okay, Pastor, di ba? Na-practice natin yan. O, dadagdagan pa natin ulit. Diba? So let's practice it this week, okay? Swift to hear and slow to speak. Make it a habit to obey the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. And I pray, Lord, for my dear brothers and sisters, and including myself, Lord. Indeed, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to empower our lives to become obedient to your Word. Lord, we need you. Left to our own, Lord, we cannot do this. So we need the strength. We need the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Be with us, Lord, along the way so that we can apply, Lord God, especially what we read this morning, that we will be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. May I ask our ushers for our giving? Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank you for how faithful you are in this church. So, Lord, I pray that as we offer back to you our substance, Lord, may this also become a worship that will rise to your throne. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.